Amen. You guys can be seated. Well, hey, I'm going to give you guys half a second to wake up, because if you've been here for a little bit, you know what I'm about to ask. Hey, MVC, how we doing? I love it. I love it. My name's Matt. If I haven't met you, I have the privilege of being the pastor here. And here's what I love. I love hearing from you guys. I believe that the Word of God is living and active, and that we are living and active participants by the grace of God and what He's doing. So, like I said, good morning. I'm so happy that you guys are here with us today. Our Christmas services are happening next week. And man, we are excited around here. Because we believe that God is going to move powerfully. We have our 10 a.m. regular service, and then we have a special service that's going to be different at 5 p.m., our candlelight service. You don't want to miss it. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. Be thinking about who you can invite to come to service with you. Because never, ever, except for Easter, is there a better time to invite somebody. It says the statistics are that over 85% of people will say yes. Isn't that cool? Over 85% of people will say yes if you invite them to church. And those that say no, you just knock them over the head and drag. No, I'm just kidding. If I don't know you, you're like, who is this guy? I'm crazy. It's fun. The life in Christ is awesome. We love celebrating Christmas together. We love celebrating the birth of our Savior. And we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? We have so much to be thankful for. This is my first Christmas with MVC, and I'm stoked about it. I'm super excited. It has been a whirlwind, let me tell you. We've been going back and forth, as many of you guys know. I brought a 20-foot enclosed trailer full of stuff, and so if you see me moving a little bit slower today, that is why. But it's been so much fun. You've made Sarah Lynn and I feel so welcome. And my kids are here today. I'm super excited about that. My daughter came in from Texas, and my son flew in from the Netherlands yesterday, and so super happy to have them with us. But I think it's a time where we think about generosity. Isn't Christmas a time where we think about generosity? When we think about the gift of a Savior, when we think about giving gifts, when we have this idea of generosity around this time. And I want to thank you for your generosity with our end of year giving. Guys, we are getting close. We are almost there. And so I want to thank you because an important part for me of the body of Christ is being healthy in all areas. And so we're trying to get healthy financially. And so we've had a match up to $50,000, dollar for dollar. And we are getting so close. And I'm so thankful. And thank you for being generous in the city of Escondido. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we are called to be salt and light, and what a cool opportunity to be a light to our community, telling them about the grace of Jesus. As I was thinking about generosity, you naturally think about Christmas, right? Christmas is a time to give gifts, and I love back in the day when I was growing up, I have a twin sister. We used to love making lists. Anybody make lists back in the day? You're like, back in the day, I make lists today. Now, if you are a little bit, if you're old, you're going to remember this. Anybody remember the Sears catalog? Oh, man. I mean, that was Christmas in and of itself for my sister and I, because the Sears catalog would come, and for you guys that missed out on the Sears catalog, I'm so sorry. I mean, it was like 800 pages of like dream Christmas gifts. And my sister and I would just turn through page after page. And I remember we'd make out these lists, and they'd be pages and pages long. And we'd be like, reference page 32, reference page 320. You can find what I want there. And it was ridiculous, right? Some of you did the same thing, and you remember, oh man, it was so crazy. Because I never expected to get all of those things. It was just fun doing it. Now, if I had seen that list from my kids, I probably would have laughed. I'm like, yeah, there ain't no way, okay? But it was fun. And I feel bad for the youth of today that don't get to experience that. And then I remember that they have these things in their pockets. And this is like Sears catalog times 10 billion, right? Anything that you could ever think about possibly wanting, Amazon, Etsy, countless other places. I know Etsy because my daughter sends me all these things from Etsy all the time. And I'm like, plus like $15 shipping and handling. Give me some Amazon. But it's crazy when we look at these things, everything that we can do, right? It's not just, in fact, it's not only is it not for phone calls anymore. If you make a phone call to someone under the age of 25, they're going to get mad at you. They're like, why'd you call me? Well, that's what a phone's for. No, it's not. You can text me, right? I mean, and to be honest, I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, don't call me. Just text me. We'll take care of it. But there's so much that we can do on phones these days. Pay bills, food delivery, news, trade stocks, apps, web browsing, social media, and like I said, make phone calls. It's crazy about all the things that technology has afforded us. Amazing how many different things that can be done on something that fits in our pocket. And it's on my family's list this year. Now, I'm a big believer in you use the thing until it is breaking down, broken, and like half the buttons won't work. And like kind of that's where my family is. I just got a phone this last year because literally like Face ID isn't working anymore. And it's like, okay, I guess it's time to bite the bullet. And so we're taking out a loan so that our family can get phones, right? And maybe you're like, Matt, you're crazy. I'm not dependent on my phone. Okay, I get it. But what are you dependent on? What are things in your life that you are dependent on that you feel like, man, if I don't have this, I don't know how I'm going to go from day to day. Maybe it's a vehicle. Maybe it's the place you live. I tell you, moving after 11 years of living in the same place, I realize how much I've come to value that home, right? And it's hard moving. I'm not talking about coffee and chocolate, although some of you are like, if I didn't have coffee and chocolate every day, Matt, I will fight you. But today we're going to look at this idea of dependence. We're going to look at this idea of what we depend on to give us life. And we've been in the book of John, and we've been talking about these I am statements of Jesus. And we've said, listen, this is so, so important because in our culture, in our world, we're going to be told over and over again who God is, about who Jesus is. And there are times when it's like, wow, you were spot on. And there's times when it's like, wow, how did you come up with that? That is so far outside of who Jesus is, I don't understand how you could get that idea. And so we've said, look, it's important to look at these I am statements so that we know who Jesus is, that we don't misinterpret him, that we don't misunderstand him. And Jesus is in his last couple weeks of life on earth. And so he's saying a lot of things and talking to his disciples and other people a lot, and he's making these I am statements. And here's the thing about when the time gets in. You ever been around somebody and you know that their time is coming to an end? And they know that their time is coming to an end. There's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a whole bunch of boxes and boxes of history and memory and things that we tend to just shove out of the way. And we're like, we're going to focus on what is most important right now. I'm going to say the things that I feel like I really need to say. Hey, I love you. Hey, I know things weren't perfect. I'm sorry. Hey, you're valuable to me. Hey, take care of your mom. Hey, take care of your dad. Hey, take care of each other. There's things that we start making sure that we say when we know that we're at the end of our time. And Jesus is saying to them, this is who I am. This is what is really important. And so they're spending time together, and Jesus is telling them that his time is coming. He's saying, listen, I know I'm not old yet, but my time is coming. There's going to be a time soon where I am go back to my Father, right? Don't worry, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And we talked about last week how that made them really nervous. Because they're like, wait, we gave up everything for you, Jesus. What do you mean you're going away? And he says, don't worry. If I go, I will come back. I'm preparing a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. And they're navigating their nervousness. They're saying, Jesus, we're dependent on you. He says, I will be back. And they're navigating through this tension. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. and you know how I've cared for you. You know how I've been for you. Time after time, I show up. I'm not going anywhere. I might physically go away, but spiritually, I will be with you. And we've looked through a bunch of different ideas. Jesus as the good shepherd, the gate, the bread of life. Today, we're going to look at the time when Jesus says, I am the true vine. And some of you, for the first time, are like, did I hear vine? Okay, like, I haven't understood shepherd, I haven't understood gate, but vine I might understand because at least I like wine, right? You're like, okay, give me some Cab Sav, let's talk, right? This area is known for grapes and vineyards, and that area at the time was known for grapes and vineyards as well. So we jump in John 15, starting in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I want you to notice something really fast as we jump in. Jesus right here is saying, I am the vine. My Father, God, is the gardener. He takes care of the vineyard. He takes care of the property. He takes care of everything. He is over all. It continues, he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, some of you understand vines and vineyards way more than me because all the verbiage I have around it is vines and vineyards, okay? You're like, but there's so much more, Matt, that you don't understand. I know you need to tell me so that next time I talk about this, I can do better. But we're talking about this idea of vines. And Jesus is saying, listen, I am the vine. And God is the gardener. And anything that doesn't produce fruit, it's going to be either cut off or it's going to be pruned so that it can make more fruit. Now, when we lived in Oregon, we used to grow stuff. My wife grew stuff all the time, and it was crazy when there was a branch or something that wasn't producing much, you just lop it off. Because you're like, it's not doing anything. It's not good for anything. And when you lopped it off, not only did you get rid of the vine that wasn't producing anything or the branch that wasn't producing something, it started feeding all of these nutrients to this other branch, and it began to become more fruitful. It's crazy how that happens. And this right here is an example of this. And so he's saying some important things. I'm the vine. God is the gardener. I want to make sure that everything is healthy. I want to make sure that everything has enough sun, that it has enough nutrients so that it can bear good fruit, that it keeps the bad bugs away, God the gardener, and it keeps the good bugs around. Yes, there are good bugs. Some of you are like, not in my house, but there are good bugs. He then says, if you aren't bearing fruit, you're going to be cut off. And we know that if there's a branch and it's not doing anything, it's not good for anything except to be cut off. To be separated so that the other branches can produce. It says, if we are connected to the vine, our response is to bear fruit. And what is the fruit? This is one of my favorite chunks of scripture. Now, I have like 30. I'll just forewarn you. But this, I love this section of scripture. It's in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. What is the fruit? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some of you learned this a long time ago, right? You learned a little song to it, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's how I learn everything. There's a song. And this is the kind of fruit that through Christ we are to bear. This is the kind of fruit that is produced in connection with the vine. So if we are connected to the vine, we are getting our sustenance and nutrients from the vine, and that it makes sense that we would bear this kind of fruit. Here's the beautiful thing, and we always leave this off of this section of Galatians. Verse 23 says, against such things there is no law. Now, you might, like, as you read that, you're like, okay, there's no law against producing the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But here's what it's saying. It's saying, produce as much as you want. You can't out-love. You can't be out-peaceful. You can't be out-joyful. You can't be out-patient. This is the fruit of the Spirit that you can produce as much as you want. and that it'll be pleasing to our Father. Because we know that God is the gardener and every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And so as we were talking about earlier, this is a fruit that, I mean, it's only in being connected to the vine. It's not fruit that we produce, it's fruit that He's producing in us. So John 15 is saying, produce as much of this fruit as you want. In fact, God tends these vines and He prunes them so that they can produce more. He then says in John 15, 4, remain in me as also I remain in you. He's saying, listen, part of this is a choice. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. We know this, right? If you've ever had a plant or you've ever had anything that you've grown, you can't just take something and lop off a part of it and expect it to survive over here. And I have lots of ways to give examples of that PETA would be very upset at me. But we know this with plants as well. You can't just take a piece of plant and just lop it off from the vine and expect it to do well. There's a couple of plants that are created to be able to prune off and replant. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those who receive all of their sustenance and their life from the vine. So remain in me and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If I'm disconnected from Jesus, I'm going to start producing less and less fruit because His Spirit is not working through me to produce fruit. I'm away from sustenance. I'm away from the nutrients. Have you ever met somebody that thinks they're doing it all by themselves? I'm self-sufficient. I'm a self-made person. Nobody has helped me. I did it all by myself. I kind of think about when I learned to ride a bicycle. Now, in today's age, I don't even know if you learn to ride bikes anymore. One of my favorite stories is we went to Virginia one time, and where we lived in Oregon, it was a busy street, and I'm just going to confess, I was a horrible father, and I didn't teach my daughter to ride a bike. And we were in Virginia, and they're like, okay, hey, let's ride a bike. And we were, laughing so hard. I mean, it was humorous to us, but I remember trying to learn to ride a bike, and I thought I had it. I'm like, I got it, Mom, let go. Remember that? Some of you guys were there. I got it, Dad, let go. And they're running along. They're like, are you sure? Yeah. And they let go, and you're just like, whack. There's times where we think we're doing it on our own, and we're reminded. The implication here when it comes to the vine and staying connected to the vine and God being our gardener is even greater. Here's why. You will never bear fruit disconnected from the vine. You will never bear fruit disconnected from the vine. Because Christ isn't working through you to produce good fruit. Apart from Jesus, the source of connection, the source of strength and sustenance and every good and perfect gift, we will not survive. John continues, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Remain in me and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, some of you might be like, ooh, that's a little harsh. But think about it. If you have a branch of a tree that falls off, if you have a part of the tree that dies, it withers away, right? We see the decay that starts to happen, and suddenly there's all kinds of branches on the ground around the tree. It's dangerous for the tree if a fire started right there, and so we remove it. We throw it into a fire. It's still good for something. It gives heat, but it's not for its intended purpose. In other words, stick with me and you'll be more than a stick. You will be a fruitful branch, a conduit of my presence in a world that desperately needs Jesus. Apart from me, you're separated from the source of sustenance. And you won't bear any fruit if you are fruitless. You will be fruitless and faltering. You know one of my favorite ways to stay connected to the vine? It's memorizing scripture. I love memorizing scripture, and because we talk about this idea of, right, like if I memorize scripture, if I'm not relying on my Bible on my phone, that's another thing that the phone can do, or this in-print Bible that we have with us, when we memorize scripture, this is the way that Psalms put it. He says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. But because, like, if this isn't with me, or I don't have my physical Bible with me, I have God's word hidden in my heart. Not that I've already obtained this or already been made perfect, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which I was called heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's all Philippians 3. And I can't tell you the number of times I've recounted that verse. I haven't obtained all this. I haven't been made perfect. But here's what I do constantly every day. I forget what's behind. I made mistakes yesterday. I made mistakes today. I forget what's behind, and I strain towards what's ahead. There's countless other verses that just through time, as I memorize it, I hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him. And let me tell you, in a culture that is full of anxiety and anxiousness, this is a remedy for our souls of anxiousness when we remind ourselves of Scripture. God, you are good. You are gentle to those who are pure in heart. Stay connected to the source. Stay a part of the branches that bears good fruit. Because when we're disconnected, like we said, we don't have any nutrients. We begin to wither away. Many of you have experienced this. Many of you have had a season in your life where I'm like, I'm doing good. I think I'm doing all right. I think I have it all figured out. And you just kind of begin walking further and way further away from the vine, away from the source. And then all of a sudden, you just kind of start feeling not as good. You begin to kind of struggle with some things that you haven't struggled with in a while. And you're like, oh my goodness, I need to get back to the source. Stay connected to the source. This is what this is saying here. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. When we produce fruit, it is the fruit of Christ in us. And if we're disconnected, you know what we can bear? Nothing. I want to go back to the phones for a second. As amazing as these things are, I mean, it really is incredible. And I feel like I use like 5% of what this can actually do, mostly on solitaire. How you doing? Good. But if this doesn't have cell service, if the cell towers go down, if the Wi-Fi goes down, you know what this is good for? Nothing. Some of you are like, it's good for nothing already. I might or might not agree with you. But it's good for nothing because it's disconnected from the source of power. It is no different in our relationship with Jesus. If we are disconnected from the source, we are not good for anything. Here's the beautiful thing. Salvation is a gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Guys, this is good news. This is a source that gives us strength. So when it comes to these I am statements, there's times, even that last verse, one of the most known verses. You know how many times I love to read that second part? God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's times where I need to be reminded of that. There's times where I lose my temper or I get frustrated about something or I act in a way that I know is not connected to the vine, and I need to remember that. Or Philippians 3, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead. God, I need your grace again anew today. See, we were created to be connected to the source, and the source is Christ. And every good gift comes from him. This is how we operate and function as we were intended to bear fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against it. I know I need to produce more of that fruit in my life. With my friends, with my family, with my coworkers. Don't nod your head. Just kidding. But we do that when we're connected to the source. The source is Christ. And aren't those the kind of fruits that you not only want in life, but that you want to give to others? So when it comes to this idea of being generous this season, let's be people that give the gift of grace. And it's not a gift of ourselves, it's the gift of a relationship in Jesus. And that is available for all that might believe. Think about maybe the best gift you can ever give to your neighbor or your brother, your sister, your son, your mom, your dad, your daughter. Is say, hey, would you come to church with me next week? I would love just for you to be with me as we celebrate the gift that we have in Jesus. The great I am. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of life in you. God, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, that you are the gate, that you are the bread of life, that you are the light. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except through you. And we thank you that you are the vine, and that we get our source, our nutrients, our life, every good gift from you. God, I pray that we would live lives so submitted to you that you would produce in us amazing fruit. And we thank you that we get to be branches. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.